Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Labor Day weekend, where we celebrate labor and we celebrate rest. Amen.
Amen.
So, listen, with that, we came to the end of a series. By the way, you noticed all the suitcases are gone. If you need a suitcase, go to Hooks and Hangers because they got a whole bunch of them donated. The number of you that approached me and were like, Pastor Jenna, those are really all your suit. Like, is that really all yours? And somehow somebody started a rumor that it was. And I just want to say, Pastor Rick used to travel 24 days a month. He did that for 4 years straight when he was down at SOCOM. So a lot of that luggage, Rick Legacy, that you pinned on me, not mine. Anyway, so we're going to jump in. We start a whole new sermon series next week called Get in the Game, thus the tailgate, the football theme. We're really excited about that. But as we looked at today and the end of one series and the start of another and our Labor Day weekend, you know, I really was like, well, God, what do you have to say about labor? What do you have to say about rest? What do you have to say about the balance, that work-life balance we all talk about? What do you have to say to our culture that is divided, where some of the culture is walking in this entitlement of, I don't really have to work, or I only need to work a little bit, or everything will just be provided for me. And some of our culture is walking in, like, forget 24/7, 25/7. Somehow they're pushing an extra hour into every day, running themselves, running ourselves ragged, continually striving and doing. And God, what do you actually have to say about how we're supposed to manage all that? And so today we want to talk about labor and rest and the balance of the two, but the balance that was designed and created and established by God long before the United States decided that the labor force was being taken advantage of and they needed to institute some formal rest. And what does that have to say and what does that look like for us? So I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. If you're not familiar with where that text lies, it's actually in the Ten Commandments. You mean labor and rest to actually rank right up there with thou shalt not steal or kill? Excuse me. Yes, they do. Wow, I don't know where that came from, but here we are. And so they do. And so Exodus 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You're like, well, okay. Sabbath, I guess that's rest, maybe, if you're not familiar, because it's a very churchy word. It's kind of an old-fashioned word. So I want to define that for us, because the labor-rest balance starts with Sabbath, right? Sabbath was a day of atonement, an intermission, a blessed rest from toils and troubles, a weekly respite from doing. Anybody need a weekly respite from doing? Anybody? Like, please, right? As a verb, it means to stop or to cease. It refers to the end of the week, and sometimes it refers to the seventh year or the year of ceasing. See, God prescribed that every 7 years the land would get rest, the debts would be forgiven, all these things would happen in that seventh year. It was a time of atonement and consecration. Now, God commands this, but we've talked in all of our lessons of leadership from Scripture about how good leaders model good behavior, right? Good leaders model for us what it is they want us to do. And this whole balance of Sabbath and work and rest, God modeled from us from the very beginning. Genesis 2, 2 and 3 says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, which means set apart. Made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. I think the first thing that I want us to understand, or that Scripture leads us to understand, is that Sabbath was established by God at creation and commanded by God in Exodus. So God established it at the very beginning by modeling it for us. And then we move forward, and God's freeing his people from slavery. And in the desert, where you would think there would be more work than ever and nobody could take time off, in that desert space, in the midst of have no idols before me and don't kill and don't steal, God says, this is Sabbath and you're to do it. He established it. And did y'all catch that Sabbath is a blessed rest, like God blessed our rest? Because what I heard in that is that any Sunday afternoon nap is actually sanctified and holy. Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
Amen. So it starts with Sabbath, but Sabbath entails more than just the day of rest. So I want you to read with me Exodus verses 20. We're going to read verse 8 again, but we're going to add on verse 9, and I want your big reading voices. Online family, I hear you. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Before we get to Sabbath, we have 6 days of labor. How's that work? How did that work for our one son who thought he could be 20 at home and not work? Oh, sorry, no, let me not. It's all better now, it's fine. To labor means to exert oneself by doing physical or mental work for a purpose or out of necessity. All those things that we have to get done, whether it is out of a need to eat, so I have to go to the grocery store, because that's labor. If you're my husband, it's additional forced hard labor. He cannot stand grocery shopping. If you're me, it's not so bad. Either way, it's required. It's required. And then we have work, which is actively directed towards making or doing something. It's the same work as God's creation. It implies craftsmanship and creating. So there are the things that we have to do, and then there's the things we were created to create. But either way, God says, hey, there's 6 days of it. There's 6 days of labor. And he doesn't just say, now your servants work for 6 days. He says, no, I don't care where you've gotten to in life. I don't care what your station is. You labor for 6 days. 6 days a week you shall labor and do all your work. Now, in our culture, this is a principle that we have to understand. Like, we need to recognize in a society that's swimming with entitlement, if you aren't working for the first 6 days, then you're not entering. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But this idea that just doing a little bit is enough and we can lounge around and eat bonbons. I mean, show me one housewives show on TV where that works out and doesn't cause a lot of problems. By the way, I don't watch them. They're not really okay to watch, so don't show them to me, but at least for me, they're not. But it never works out. Idle hands, idle minds make a mess of things, you know? And by the way, it's not what God created us to do. Like, our kids love summer when they get there for the first week. And by week two, what are they saying? I'm bored. What are we going to do? Except parents don't get the summer off work, so you can't plan their activity schedule out. And you're like, I don't know what you're going to do. Chores, that's what you're going to do. But quit asking me what you're going to do. And it's because we're created to do those things. We're created to have a purpose and to be busy. By the way, let me say laboring absolutely includes running a household, raising your children, all those things. Laboring doesn't have to mean a 9-to-5 job. If that was it, we'd only have to do it 5 days a week for 40 hours. But we all know all the things that come along at home in addition to all the things at work. It also means, okay, parents in the room, take a deep breath, inhale and exhale. Parents, don't raise your children that they can live in your basement till they're 30 years old, and that's okay. Amen. It's not okay. Also, walk in love with them as you teach them, because you train up a child in the way that they should go, right? So we know that thank you, I got one. Thank you, April, I appreciate that. So we know that Sabbath was established by God at creation and prescribed for us in Exodus, but we also find out from this text that work is required. What? Thank you, Leonard. Amen. We got one amen. Let me try it. Work is required. We were created to create. We were created to do. Work is required. And work may look different when you retire. Work may look different in different seasons, but it's still required. You know what? Stopping work is no good. Do you know how many people, the statistics for how many people actually die shortly after they enter retirement because they literally think, oh, I'm going to retire and I'm just going to sit in the rocking chair. We weren't created for that. Retiring should be refiring, not like you're fired, but refiring to a new purpose. What are you going to do with this time? What are you going to do with this season? What are you going to do in this space? So we understand that God is serious about work. And not just in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Paul said to the church in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12, he goes, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Like, that's pretty bold, shall not eat. He says, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. Now, I want to make it clear, Paul is talking to people who were able. He is talking about people who were able. It does not apply to those who, for physical reasons or emotional reasons or some other disability, can't work. God makes provisions for them through those who can work. That's why God speaks to us as the church about providing for orphans and widows, providing for those in need. But here's the thing. Work is just not a requirement. It's not just required. It's rehabilitating. Like, work is good for you. Paul's talking to another church in Ephesians 4, and he says, anyone who's been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. The statistics are out there, and there's so many different studies. I started to pull them up, and it was kind of overwhelming in percentages and all the different things. But let me say that it is an overwhelming positive attribute when people come out of incarceration, when they have a job, when they can go to work, their return to incarceration is significantly diminished. And it was by half to two-thirds, depending on which study that you looked at. Again, there's a ton of them. And it's not just because they have money in their pocket, because if we're really honest, the jobs that most people coming out of prison can get don't put a whole lot of money in your pocket. It's that they have purpose. It's that they are working and creating and contributing, and that feels good. It builds our self-esteem. It builds our character. It walks us in line with how God created us to walk. And so work isn't just required. It rehabilitates our hearts when we've been in a bad space to be able to do that, both physically and mentally. Again, mental health statistics for people who sit at home and don't have a job, it's bad. Like, the rate of depression and anxiety doesn't decrease because they're at home. It increases by more than twofold. And so I want to make sure we have this right as we're looking at this philosophy or theology of work and rest and the balance, and understand that God starts with Sabbath. But he says, right away as he introduces Sabbath, you need to work the 6 days before. A holy Sabbath is preceded by holy work. I'll let you take that in for a minute, because some of you are like, you have not been to my workplace, Pastor Jen. You might do holy work as the pastor, but there ain't nothing holy about where I work. Nothing at all. There's nothing holy about my situation. Because this is online, I won't call out where she works. But I hear you, sister. I hear you. I've been there. But see, it doesn't matter where we work or what that environment is. Because as children of God, it's our job to take the holy with us. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Why don't you read that with me? Whatever you do, pause. Whatever you do. Okay, let's read the whole thing now. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So, whether you get a bonus at your job or not, you get an eternal bonus, you get a heavenly bonus, no matter how much people are on your everlasting nerve, no matter how unholy things are, you are called to holiness, which means to be set apart. You are called to set apart your work for God, no matter what it is. Now, let me say this. Some of you, actually, I know no one in this room, but I was at a previous church, and someone came to me greatly distressed because their job had them doing things that were in conflict to God's word. You can't set that apart as holy. They ended up changing jobs. They knew they needed to do that. So there are some industries that are legal but are not biblical, and you can't work in those and dedicate that work to the Lord. I don't think that applies to anybody in here. But I want to say, unless it's in direct conflict with Scripture, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Can I tell you, there were some days, as some of you know, I used to be the EMET coordinator at North Point High School. Like, in between my military career and pastoring, I was just going to get this little part-time job, just enough to help pay the groceries. Right? At North Point High School. Now, overall, I loved that job. It was great. Like, I was made for it. My kids were in school at the high school and across the street at the middle school. It was fantastic. I don't know that they thought that was fantastic, but it was great for me. And but there were some moments. Like, that was before the latest high school opened, so North Point was the cat's meow, and everybody came there. The governor came there. Every county, every tri-county, and every state event pretty much was held there. It was a lot, and there were days, and I'd venture to say wherever you work, you have days. Staff, it's okay for you to nod your heads. There are days in this job where I got to remember, I don't have it in me to do this for them right now, but oh God, this is what you gave me, and I do have it inside me to do this for you right now. And if you need that word of encouragement, if you are figuring out how you are going to go through the next day at work, then I want to encourage you that not only do you work as unto the Lord, but when you bring something to God, He consecrates it and blesses it. And so when you work unto Him, whatever your career, whatever your job is, then you enter a space of covering and protection by God because you've dedicated what you're doing to Him. And He is your defender, and He is your provider, and He is your protector. Amen? Amen. That's right. Even at preschool, because that can be a rough day, let me tell you. All right. But let's remember that this work and rest thing are relational. So I want to go back to that commandment one more time. By the way, do you know out of all the Ten Commandments, this commandment on Sabbath and work and rest is the longest? It takes up more real estate. It takes up more words. It takes up more space, more breath, more chipping into stone than any other commandment. So read with me. We're going to read verses 8 all the way through verse 10 now, because we're getting that balance ingrained. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Okay, some of you were less excited about holy work for 6 days. Can you get a little more excited about designated rest by God on the seventh day, where you're not supposed to work and you are supposed to rest? Can I get an amen in the house on resting, on ceasing and stopping for a little bit? Because yes, work is required, but rest is also required. God said for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, you are to rest. Don't do any work and don't make anybody else do any work. By the way, this is the verse that in some traditions has become very legalistic. Yes. And Sabbath was only on one day a week, and you couldn't go out to eat because you'd make somebody else work. Rick and I were actually in Jerusalem on their Shabbat, which is Saturday, and you're not allowed to press the elevator button because it's work. You're making something mechanical work. So it's more restful to walk up 7 flights of stairs than press the elevator button. I don't think that that tracks with God's logic. I really don't. Like, so you have to be careful not to be legalistic. There was a time in our culture where stores were closed on Sunday, things were closed on Sunday. That is not our culture today. But as you're, like, if I'm looking this as a supervisor, I have on it, you should not work, not your sons, your daughters, or your servants, your animals. So my employees, our employees, they're God's employees. I hate to even say mine, but our church employees, obviously none of us Sabbath on Sunday. I'll bet you can't even imagine why, because we're here at 6 or 7 or 8 in the morning and we work a 6 or 8 hour day. But it's my responsibility to check in and say, hey, are you getting Sabbath? It's my responsibility to check in and say, hey, are you working 7 days a week or are you finding a break? Hey, in your co-vocational job, maybe you can't take 24 hours, but are you getting 12 hours and 12 hours? Are you getting rest? Are you having time? Like my Sabbath, Pastor Rick's Sabbath, our Sabbath is on Monday. But Monday, there's always worship music. There's always some time in my quiet time with God, because church has happened today, and that's work on our side. Like, we love it. I get to worship, but Rick's doing tech, Chris is doing tech, everybody's working. So I'm not saying that this is a legalistic thing, because Jesus said Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. In other words, we aren't beholden to a day. We aren't slave to a day. The day of rest is meant to be slave to us. It's meant to fulfill us. It's meant to support us. Why is this such a big deal? Like, just because God said? Why does it really matter that we do this? Because if I'm honest, teaching people to actually take a Sabbath and trust that God will provide for them to have an actual day of rest is sometimes harder. Actually, it's often harder than teaching people why they're supposed to tithe and give 10% of their income to the church. Like, long after people trust God with their checkbooks, they're still like, yeah, but my calendar, I just can't do it. Like the arguments we used to have. Are we supposed to say that? That we have arguments? Yeah, okay. The discussions, the heated discussions we used to have about, we can do this, we really can take chores and job and work out of this 24-hour period. I believe we can do this. God will bless that, but how? And all those things. God says we need to take a rest to reset our minds, to reset our hearts, to reset our physical beings. When God rested on the seventh day, As much as I joked that my nap was now sanctified and holy on Sundays, it's not really. Like, that word rest doesn't mean to sleep. It means to relax, to sit back and enjoy. God stopped doing on the seventh day so he could sit back and enjoy all of his creation. Who has taken on a building project, whether you were doing a renovation of a room? Raise your hands. Yep, some. Whether you were building that giant play thing in the backyard that we talked about jealousy I will confess I used to be jealous. Like, we couldn't afford that giant play thing for our kids. They had a little dinky one. But, you know, that giant play yard that's like 2,004 pieces and you got to put it together. Like, you put all that together, or you plant, not like a little garden, like you tear up a big piece of your yard, and that means getting the grass out and tilling it and amending the soil and planting and weeding and watering and all those, like all of that. Right, is creating. And when you're done with that, after a hard day in the garden, you might need a nap. But when you're done with that, the whole point is you sit back and you enjoy it. Like, the satisfaction of completing that project and sitting with it, of pulling carrots out of the garden and cooking them and serving them because of all the work that went into it. Sitting back from your job and recognizing you did a great job this week. And you get to sit back and enjoy the fact that you did a great job this week. That when people tweaked your nerves, you didn't lose sight of the fact that you were working for God. Or that when everybody else was slacking off, you didn't lose sight of the fact that you were working for God. And you put the time in, and you're supposed to relax and to celebrate. Matthew Sleeth is the author of a book called 24/6. It's a prescription for a happier, healthier life. And he said, for 6 days, God created everything out of nothing. And on the seventh day, God made nothing out of something. And he brought rest into being. And by the time God makes it a command in Exodus, he's become pretty serious. It's not only the longest commandment of the 10, but the consequence for ignoring it was to be cut off from community. And the consequence for desecrating the Sabbath was death. Like, it was the death penalty. Like, God was trying so hard to establish the significance and importance of this. And not just because he needed to follow some rules. Deuteronomy 5:15. That's trying to explain to the people why it matters. He said, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. In other words, God said, I freed you from slavery. And that is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. Because slaves work 7 days a week. Slaves didn't control their time, their schedule, their tasks. They didn't control anything. And God says, and I took you out of that. I freed you from that. By my mighty arm, I freed you and made you a free people. How much freer are we in Jesus Christ? How much more freedom do we have now that our sins are paid and our debt is forgiven? How much more freedom do we have? And God said, I did all of that for you. And because I have set you free, you can trust me to take care of you while you rest for a day. You can trust that the things will happen and things will get done, and you can actually sit back. Sabbath rest is an invitation back into relationship with God. That's why he says it's a time that is set apart. It's set apart for community. It's set apart to come to the Lord's gathering. It's set apart for worship. It's set apart for celebration. Because we can celebrate that God not only provided for them in the desert, but he still provides for us today. And just like bringing your tithes, the first time we tithed, right? We actually gave our 10%. I'll never forget my husband coming up the stairs so excited because his office was down in the basement. He came up the stairs so excited, and he's like, look at the budget. It works. Like, I don't know how it works. I did the 10% first because, you know, if you wait till the end, then there would only be like 6 or 7 or 8% left. He's like, I did the 10% first, and everything's paid, and that doesn't make sense because I have 6 months worth of numbers that tell me that doesn't make sense, but it works. And can I tell you, no matter how long your to-do list is, when you set apart a Sabbath day, it'll work. Because it says God blesses the Sabbath. He blesses it. And he'll bless your calendar just like he blessed your budget. Community with God, the official holy assembly, the Lord's Sabbath. When we look at this work and rest balance, we get to understand. I hope if you haven't caught this before, that this is a moment for you where you get to understand that working for God leads to resting in God. Not resting in your own paycheck, not resting in your own accomplishments, but resting in our Creator and our Provider, resting in Him. When we look back at legalism, I want to remind us that Sabbath is not a punishment. Because that's how it used to feel. Like old-fashioned Sabbath in our country in the early part of like 1900s and in the early time, you weren't allowed to play, you weren't allowed to work, you weren't allowed to lift a finger, you weren't allowed to walk so far. Like all these extra things, even in the Old Testament, all the extra things that the lawgivers tacked on to the commandment, your donkey couldn't walk so far, Jesus got in trouble for healing on the Sabbath, like all kinds of nonsense. Sabbath is not a punishment. It started with God at creation, and it has carried through all the centuries, the Roman Empire, European prosperity, the Civil War, Depression, suffrage. We have Labor Day because people weren't taking a Sabbath anymore, and they were working in the factories in this great new creation and invention of factories, and they were getting sick and keeling over and dying and being taken advantage of and all these things, and that's part of why we have Labor Day, because it's when the government stepped back in and said, no, we got to get back to this time off thing. It lasted through the space age. NASA didn't launch stuff. Well, maybe they did launch something on Sunday, so I don't want to say that. I have too many space nerds in the room, and I try really hard to never misquote something. But as a whole, NASA was shut down on Sundays, right? Things were shut down on Sundays. People didn't go to work on Sundays. Stores weren't open on Sundays. And it's more important that stores weren't open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not that it's a Sunday. It's that there was never a day of rest. Because somewhere along the way, someone decided we no longer needed a down day. We no longer as a society needed a rest. Just as long as we got a couple long weekends. I mean, now stores don't even close for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Like, it's crazy. And then we have our email and our electronics and our devices that changed access. Kids started having programs on Sunday, games, sports events on Sundays, school events on Sundays. And it's led to this continued nonstop epidemic of busyness and doing. And I got to tell you, it's not working. Shocking that something God set up we would go against and it wouldn't work. I mean, you know, silly us. But in the last 20 years, as leisure time has decreased by 30%, productivity has only increased by 15%. There is a less than 50% rate of return on constantly doing. There was a new study released in 2019, and I know I'm talking to you guys a lot about statistics this sermon, but I want you to see the practicality of this and how it actually plays out, that there is a peak where when we have too much leisure time, productivity plummets. And we have not enough leisure time, productivity plummets. Like, again, we were created to do this. And Aaron Elderhart is the author of Hard Break, A Cure for the 24/7 Lifestyle. He says, deep down, I think all of us know that what we're doing isn't exactly good for us and is exactly helping us to be our best selves. We are overly stressed, underslept, chronically anxious as a society. We are never shutting down. Work follows us home and home follows us to work. Few places on the planet allow an escape from the internet anymore. Church, ceasing matters. Working hard for 6 days to get all the things done is required and prescribed and should be set apart for God wholly. But so is your day of rest. God didn't just provide the seventh day for us to rest. He blessed that space and time. Right back to Genesis 2:3, God blessed the seventh day. He blessed it. Goes on in Exodus chapter 16 to say, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. Church, hear me. Sabbath is God's gift of rest. For us, for our communities, for the land, that seventh year where they didn't plant. And I hear you. Like, with all the demands, all the crazy, all the things, you might say, I'm too busy. I mean, we try to keep it honest in here and keep it real. I'm too busy to take a day. And I'd like to suggest that with the demands of our culture and society, with all that we're going through and with everything that's happening, quite the contrary, we're too busy to not take a day. We're too busy to not take a rest. So as we look today at the work-life, work-rest balance that God established, I don't want you to view it from a legalistic lens. Again, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So whatever day of the week, whatever time, whatever your season, if you are so co-vocational that it's 12 hours here and 12 hours here till you can take months to fix your schedules at your jobs, what does it look like for you and how do you do it? Because I want to go back to Matthew Sleeth. He says, Sabbath was meant to protect the worker and set the stage for a celebration of God. If our day of rest becomes a set of rules, then the celebration and the joy are easily subtracted. Work is a gift and rest is a gift. So I have to ask us, how goes the work? Like, it's Labor Day. How goes the work? Are you working at it? Are you working at it for God? Are you working at it for you? Are you working at it just for the paycheck with a really bad attitude? Because I've been there and done that once or twice. It's pretty miserable. Is it holy? Is it set apart? Doing everything as unto the Lord? And probably more importantly, knowing the people in this room, how goes the resting? Are you taking a day to cease working? Are you setting aside time in that day for God, for worship and celebration and relationship with family and friends and for physical rest? And if the answer of any of that is no, then what will you change? Because the Lord God said, this is how I created you. This is what I created you to do. and this is how I've blessed you in it. Walk in the blessing. New Testament, Hebrews 4:9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. We have a video to close with, but I just want to say, as I really looked at all of this and prayed through all of this, the bottom line, like what it came down to, I think for me, and I think to communicate, is that labor and rest are commands of love, not legalism. And they're given by our Creator to keep our life centered on Him.